But to make the most of our time this morning, I want to give you just a few moments before we could begin to pray. I know how sometimes things can get so hectic in the morning that we just kind of run to church and we don't even have time to pray. And I'm going to ask you just to take a few moments this morning to pray and ask God to minister to your heart this morning, to reveal himself to you in a special way. Pray that God would help you to be able to apply the very words of God that we're going to hear this morning. So I want to give you just a few moments to pray, and then after a little bit, I'd like you to repeat with me a verse that the psalmist wrote as a prayer to God. So take a moment and just pray for yourself this morning, and then pray for us as we get ready to share the word of God. Now pray this prayer with me as the psalmist wrote it. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Amen. And God's people said, amen. Someone came up to me after the service last week and noticed that some people weren't taking notes, and they thought that, well, maybe it's because they can't keep up because I'm going too fast. Well, they offered to type out notes for every week. So if you are interested in having someone do that for you, where they would type out the notes and hand them to you the following week, let me know. I don't want to have her do that if no one's interested, but if you're interested, let me know. And she's willing to do that for you. So far in our study, we have looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, or the triunity, or more commonly known as the Trinity. If you look at this chart with me, it says that that the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Son is God. But the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. They have three different functions. Now, as we study out the Holy Spirit, we're going to find that some of the times those functions overlap. But they both have three separate functions that they fulfill, but they're one essence. They are all God, all right? We've looked at in our study. We've also looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. He has person attributes. He has attributes of a person as well as attributes of God. We saw there he is a God. And if you were with us last week, you know that we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit in believers, what he does in us. This morning, we want to start looking at the gifts. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to each believer. Now, we've worked through the first section of our doctrinal statement on what we believe about the Holy Spirit. This morning, we'll begin to unpack the second section, which is this. We believe that the Holy Spirit gives each believer a minimum of one and at times more gifts to be used for God's glory and the edification of the church. When we talk about spiritual gifts, number one, what is meant by spiritual gifts? What is meant by spiritual gifts? Now, although you're not required to memorize these words, it is important to understand that the Bible uses two different Greek words to describe spiritual gifts. The first Greek word is this, and I'm not going to pronounce it because every one of us would pronounce it differently. Very good. That's your way of pronouncing it. I say, let Lero pronounce it. That's what I say. But this means This has the meaning of spiritual things or things pertaining to the spirit. This word emphasizes the spiritual nature and origin of our spiritual gifts. These are not natural talents, but rather spiritual gifts that have their origin in the Holy Spirit. They are supernaturally given to a believer by that Holy Spirit. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. Now, the other Greek word is probably a word that's more familiar to you, and it's used to identify a spiritual gift, and that word is charisma, meaning grace gift. The word charisma emphasizes that a spiritual gift is a gift of God's grace. God didn't have to give them to us. God doesn't even have to use us, but out of his grace, he has set up his plan to use every believer to accomplish his work. See, a spiritual gift isn't something that you work on or something that you develop naturally, but rather it's a gift given to every believer. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. A concise definition of spiritual gifts is simply a grace gift. One of my teachers, Dr. Charles Ryrie, who just passed away maybe three weeks ago. But he gives a more complete definition when he writes this. He says, a divine endowment of a special ability for service upon a member of the body of Christ. So that's what we mean when we talk about spiritual gifts. Well, secondly, what is not meant by spiritual gifts? What is not meant by spiritual gifts? A, it's not a location where we serve. You can use your spiritual gift wherever you are. You don't have to be in a church building to use it. B, it's not a position. It's not a position. You can use your gift of serving without being a deacon. You can use your gift of administration without being the church secretary. C, it does not have age limitations. There are no gifts for being a junior church worker. There are no gifts for being a youth worker or a Sunday school teacher. There are no gifts for working with senior citizens. You can use your gift within any age limit God places you. A guy I used to work for, Jack Wurtson, he was old when I first met him. He was old when I left Word of Life. He has always been old. But I remember many times he would speak in snow camp and we would have 500, 600, 700 campers on a weekend for a snow camp. He would preach the message, and many times I'm thinking, Jack, just stop. Stop, you've lost me. I know you've lost the kids. He would use illustrations, and Bill, you've heard him speak many times. He'd use illustrations about people that, he said, just the other day, and he's talking back in the 20s, people that I've never heard of. He said, well, I just talked to this sports figure the other day, and I had no idea who he was. But you know what? Without exception, I watched hundreds, if not thousands, of young kids, young people, teenagers, come to know Christ because he had the gift of evangelism. And see, you don't have to say, well, I can't do that. If God has placed you there, you can use whatever spiritual gifts he's got you to serve there. But it does not have age limitations. D, it does not require a specialty. There is no spiritual gift for writing books or playing a piano, as much as we appreciate Anna playing, or counseling. These are just opportunities where you can use your spiritual gifts. E, it's different than a talent. A spiritual gift is different than a talent. A talent may or may not serve the body of Christ, but a spiritual gift is intended to be used within the body of Christ. Let's take a look at a chart that I took from the Moody Handbook of Theology to contrast natural talents from spiritual gifts. Natural talents. The source of natural talents is from God through parents. The source of spiritual gifts is from God, independent of parents. Natural talents are possessed from birth. Spiritual gifts are possessed probably from conversion. Now, there's some that believe that God's gifts are in everybody that he creates, and when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings them alive. And that very well could be. But we believe that when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings those gifts with him, and they're alive within us. But either way, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that makes them alive. The purpose of natural talents is to benefit mankind on the natural level. The purpose for spiritual gifts is to benefit mankind on the spiritual level. The process are both the same, whether it's natural talents or spiritual gifts. Natural talents must be recognized, developed, and exercised. Same with spiritual gifts. They must be recognized, developed, and exercised. And the function? Well, the function of our natural talents should be the same as our spiritual talents. Our natural talents ought to be dedicated by the believer to God for his use and glory. And our spiritual gifts ought to be used for the same. See, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve the body of Christ however God wants to use it. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Next week, we're going to start actually looking at some of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, as you look at the church as a whole, not just Center Baptist Christian Church, but even the American church as a whole, I'm not sure if people are not using their spiritual gifts for the common good of the church body because they don't know they have one, or they don't know what their spiritual gift is, or whether they just refuse to use it. Whatever the reason, remember this: when believers are not using their gifts as God intended them to be used, the body of Christ suffers. Every time. Every time when the believers are not using their gifts as God intended them to be used, the body of Christ suffers. So, what is spiritual gifts? What spiritual gifts are not? And then thirdly, what do we know about spiritual gifts? What do we know about spiritual gifts? A, Jesus gives the gifts out. Jesus gives the gifts out. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that his rule might fill the entire universe. And who was that? Who does that describe? Yeah, it describes Jesus, exactly. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church. And these are some of the gifts: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4, 10 to 11. Now, Jesus gave these gifts to who? Well, what does the verse say? Yeah, but what does the verse say? He gave them to the church. He gave them to the church in order to build up the body, to build up other Christians. So no matter what gift you have, no matter how insignificant you may think it is, remember, Jesus has handpicked it for you to use in this body. God gives the gifts, Jesus gives the gifts out. B, the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. He distributes the gifts. It is the one in Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. But God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 to 18. Jesus gives out the gifts. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. The third one, C, God made the gifts. God made the gifts. Do you see the Trinity involved in our spiritual gifts? He made the gifts. Do you remember this verse? You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalms 139 and verse 13. I have to admit, I don't know much about knitting. I've never knitted. I have no desire to knit. Matter of fact, I hope I never have to knit. So I'm not a real authority on knitting. But I do remember Judy used to knit mittens for our kids. So I know that when Judy knitted the mittens for our kids, it was not done in mass production. She made one set at a time. She would choose the color of the yarn to be used, and each piece of yarn would then be carefully intertwined with the other. Imagine, you that do knit, imagine God taking the time to knit you. Each thread of personality is intertwined, and each spiritual gift deliberately chosen for you. You are not mass-produced. God takes the time to make you just as you are. You are unique. There is no one else like you. Did you know that there's no, and they've tried to prove it, but there is no snowflake that are identical? Why is that? Because God made it. And he does the same with you. You are one of a kind. God knitted you just like you are, with your personality, your spiritual gifts, your likes, your dislikes. He made the gifts. That is why each of you is needed to do what God has knitted you to do. In order for Center Barnstead Christian Church to be effective, even capable of accomplishing the desired work God has for this little church, every one of us needs to utilize the gifts that God has given us. If you really believe that God knitted you, that God deliberately made you one of a kind, that God gave you the spiritual gifts that you have, then you must believe that unless you use these gifts, his church, this church, is going to suffer. What do we know about the spiritual gifts? Jesus gives them out. The Holy Spirit distributes them. God made them. Number D, or letter D, every believer has at least one. Every believer has at least one gift. Each one should use whatever gift or gifts, but gift, he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. No excuses, no reasons to say, I can't do anything. Because if we do that, then we make God a liar. E, The church benefits from the gifts. The church benefits from the gifts. Senator Brown said, Christian church is not about me, and it's not about you. It's about us. Think of it this way. If someone was to take a major tendon out of your leg, it would affect the way you walk. If someone was to take that tendon, it would limit you on what you could do. It is the same with spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit has given you and I a gift to use. And when you and I withdraw that gift or we refuse to use that gift here in the body, it limits us on what we can do. Our gifts are not to benefit me. My gift is to benefit us. And so is your gift. It's to benefit us. Matter of fact, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to take the time to read this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. And Paul says the same thing. The church benefits from the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read verses 12 to verse 27. Now, remember, who told Paul to write this? The Holy Spirit did, remember? That's one of his works. Verse 12 says this: the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to this body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to that body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and have given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Spiritual gifts. What do we know about spiritual gifts? The church benefits from the gifts. F, you must make your gift or gifts available. You must make your gift or gifts available. You must be willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do with your gifts. Actually, until you and I are willing to do everything the Holy Spirit tells us to do, the use of our God-given gifts is limited. Paul said this to the local church in Ephesus. He wrote this. He said, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. See, if you and I aren't fully committed to living a life like this, then the gifts that God has given us will never be fully developed or used. You must be willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do with your gifts. G, God has a plan. God has a plan. What do we know about the spiritual gifts? God has a plan. And part of his plan, number one, is he wants you. He wants you. Before you go looking for your spiritual gift, you must know that God has a prerequisite, and that is this, that he wants you to give yourself first. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Part of his plan is that he wants you. Or secondly, he has placed you. He has placed you. Church is not like a football game where thousands of spectators watch a few participants play a game. God does not want us to be spectators. God wants every one of us to be participants. The Holy Spirit led you to Center Bible Christian Church because he wants you to minister to, not to just a few people in your small circle, but he wants you to minister to the whole body. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. See, God has knitted you and me together, just like we are, because he has an assignment for you, assignment within this body. God placed each believer as a vital part of the living body. If God has called you here, and only you and God know that, but if God has called you here, then God equipped you to work here. If we as a church family would allow the Holy Spirit to work freely with us, then not only will we be blessed, but won't this community that we have, that we are planted in. So he wants you, he has a place for you. And never forget this, thirdly, he knows about you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what gifts he's given you. He knows exactly how he wants you to function in this body. But he also knows if you're committed. He also knows if you are faithfully using your gifts. Because Hebrews says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. If you and I are serious about being able to use these hand-picked gifts that God handpicked for us, We shouldn't be looking for things that would keep us from this body. We should be looking for ways to get into the lives of this body. Now, I don't quote politicians much, and there's a reason for that. But I do agree with this. Listen to what this...
For your kids. I'm going to have a tax plan that is pro-family because the family is the most important institution in society. You cannot have a strong country without strong family.
And can I remind you? The church is no different. The church is no different. Center Barnstead Christian Church will not be a strong church if we're not a strong family. God knows that too. That's why the Holy Spirit told the writer of Hebrews to write this. He said, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. You know, as a pastor, it's difficult sometimes when we have to beg people to get together. You know, we have this ladies' retreat coming up, and we've been talking about it for months. We have to beg people to come. Don has been promoting the men's conference. We have to beg people to come. But what does God say? God says, motivate one another to acts of love and good works. How do you do that if you're not together? How do you even know what's going on in someone's life if we're not doing life together? God says, don't neglect our meeting together. Yet, when we do these things, whether it's the ladies' retreat or whether it's Easter breakfast or whether it's the men's conference or whatever we're doing, my first thought is many times, and I used to do the same thing at times when I wasn't a pastor, my first thought would always be about me. Well, how's that going to affect me? Well, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Or, you know what, I got other things going on to do that. When in fact, I think the first question we should ask ourselves when these activities, now you can't come to everything. I know that. And I don't think God wants you to come to everything, but some of you don't come to nothing. And I think God would have you become part of this body if we're going to accomplish the things that God has for us to do. And I think the first thing that we need to ask ourselves is this. God, what do you want me to do? Maybe I do feel uncomfortable. Maybe I don't like anybody in that group. Maybe, God, I don't have the money. And money is never an object. It's never a problem because we have people's money. Money's been set aside for everything we do. But my response should be not how do I feel about it, but what does God say about it? How do I encourage? How do I motivate one another to love and good works? How do I encourage one another? Encourage the people that are planning these things. You know, a ladies' night out. Every month, there's people that are working on it. How can I encourage it? Maybe it's just by showing up. So I'm not here this morning to beat you up. I'm just here to tell you that we can't do what God wants us to do if we're not doing what God wants us to do. And God wants us to be a family. And the only way we can be a family is by spending time together. And for most of us, it's going to take an effort because all our lives are full. But I think too often, we quickly put away the eternal at the expense of the temporal. And God wants us to be eternal focused. How can I use my gifts to meet the needs in this family? How do I use those knitted gifts that God has placed in this guy to benefit this family? And the only way that we can benefit one another is by being in each other's life and by using those gifts that God has given us. Next week, we're going to start looking at what some of these spiritual gifts look like. These gifts that God has handpicked himself for you. But can I also add that the most important thing about spiritual gifts is not knowing your spiritual gift. The most important thing about spiritual gifts is not necessarily knowing what your spiritual gift is. The most important thing is to use your spiritual gift as God intended you to use it. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. And as we serve one another, we have no idea how God will grow us numerically as well as spiritually. As we close this morning, our closing song, may it be the prayer of each one of our hearts. No matter